Hey, this is Craig Custins, joined by Sean Gentile on Monday. It's Monday, Sean. What are we doing recording the American edition of the Athletic Hockey Show on a Monday? Can you explain to me what's happening now?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
Happy what?
Thanksgiving. All right. So the thing about Canadian Thanksgiving, I figured this out over the last 10 years. Okay. Is like it's like the Schrodinger's cat of holidays. It exists kind of like it's on 4 days, but on no days. It like extends over a weekend. People eat at different times. Like I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, we're doing our part to we're not celebrating it, of course, because it's not a real holiday, but we're doing our part to help our Canadian friends, Ian and Haley, who would normally be recording today, give them the day off for whatever, because they apparently celebrate this holiday, this Canadian Thanksgiving. That's what you called it. That's what it's.
Happy Canadian Thanksgiving.
Happy Canadian Thanksgiving to all of our thank you to the Canadians listening who are just flummoxed why we're on and they were expecting Haley and Ian. I hope you don't shut it off. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving and however it's celebrated in your various traditions. We are going to roll forward, though. We're very excited to have Joe Smith here with us on the pod. Joe, how are you, first of all?
Doing well, and I didn't really know it was like Thanksgiving until I looked at Slack and people's messages were the big turkey on it.
Of course,
when you have to put something before the holiday, it's probably not the same. You know, Canadian Thanksgiving, just say Thanksgiving.
You know? We can actually have you back on Canadian Christmas, which is on Halloween.
wait, I don't think Canadians call it Canadian Thanksgiving, Joe. Do they? Because I always know. Like Ken Holland would always talk about, he assesses his team at American Thanksgiving. You would always make that distinction.
Yeah.
And I was always like, American Thanksgiving. I think Canadians call American Thanksgiving and not just America's Thanksgiving.
That's a fair point.
I don't know. We'd have to do some more research.
Happy holidays, regardless, all the Canadians. So everyone should have their Thanksgiving and their big turkey.
Yes,
so
I hope
happy for them.
And so Joe concludes, we were doing our storylines lap around the league with all of the Athletic beat writers or as many as we could cram onto this podcast. And we're concluding with the reigning champs times two and a bit of news today. John Cooper signs a contract extension with the Lightning, just taking care of business, tidying up before the season starts. So let's start there, Joe. I mean, no brainer. I don't even know. Like this is, there's no debating here.
I don't know.
Probably should have at least two cups. But you know, you've gotten to know John Cooper really well there. Why do you think it's been such a perfect fit?
Well, I think the synergy there. You look at Julian Breezeball, the GM. Like he hired John Cooper back in 2010, and they along with Steve Yzerman helped build that culture in the organization from the ground up, essentially. And so. I think it's worked so well because they know each other and they have that same way they want to build the team, same kind of players that they want. And they had a lot of patience. Like, quite frankly, this was a no-brainer now. But, you know, after the sweep against Columbus, you know, he has signed that was his last contract here, right? He signed a month before the sweep, a 3-year extension. And so, like, you know, that was obviously a rewarding, a faith. They thought they'd go far. They lost in the 4 games and people wondered if he'd be on the hot seat, even though he just signed an extension. But, you know, I think there's rewarded his faith in him, and he just evolved over time. You know, he's obviously the same guy in a lot of ways, but when you get humbled like that, it has been amazing to watch him and the team kind of transform a bit into what they are now, which is a team that's I think has a decent chance of going for three.
Were there any? What were those demonstrable changes in him after that Blue Jacket series? Like, was there obvious stuff that happened, or was it more subtle?
I think they're more subtle. I mean, I think, you know, they as a team, not just him, but they had to recognize they had to make some changes in the way that they did things. They were the greatest show on ice for so long. They were so, dynamic, and they led the league in scoring. But I think they, starting with the coaching staff, setting the tone, they had to get the guys, the Kucherovs and them, to play the way they need to play. And you saw that style really take form the next year, even though they struggled off the bat. And so the coaching staff had to have some really, heart-to-heart meetings with players and try to figure out what they needed to do. And credit to the coaching staff for getting the guys to buy in. And once they had the rewarding with the first cup, then it became easy to sell it the next time, right? So once you saw the reward for that, they were able to kind of reinforce it. But, you know, it hasn't been quite the linear road to here. But now they're kind of chasing some rare air.
What's your temperature of the team now? Like, you could tell last year there was a drive to the Lightning because they win the cup, but didn't really get to celebrate. It was, you know, people were even talking about asterisks, mm-hmm. which is obviously BS. Mm-hmm. But like, they win the cup. Really, you could tell there was a hunger there to go back to back to you know, not that you have to solidify a Stanley Cup win ever, but it did. So when you get a temperature feel right now, where's that drive? Where's the hangover? Where is this team mentally going into this year?
Well, I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of hunger still. I think the guys has so much, I mean, as you guys saw, so much fun with the cup and actually had a chance to celebrate for the first time that they don't want to give it up. They feel it's their cup. They don't want to give it up. And I think there's a drive to be part of history, right? You won two in a row, you're a special team, but now all of a sudden you're part of kind of a rare air chance to be, you know, some of the best ever. And I think it also helps them in a way that they've made some changes in the roster too. You lose guys like the Gord and the Goudreau and Coleman. Yeah. And so it does hurt your team, but now you have to do it maybe a different way. You don't have that same recipe you could do it the year before. So I think that kind of energizes the group too, having guys like Belmar and Corey Perry, who's been a great fit, I think, so far. So I think, you know, sometimes change can be good in a sense of it kind of takes away that kind of false sense that you can do it just the way you did before. So now that'll kind of create some changes in the way they kind of do things to, as far as matchups or as far as guys needing to step up in different roles or whatever, they can be kind of within the right kind of way to start this long challenge again.
Who do you see replacing? I mean, you just mentioned a line that's no longer with the team. Mm-hmm. Who do you see rising up and taking advantage of that opportunity this year?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they'll be the exact same kind of, that line will play the same role as previous, but I think you have some interesting combinations here. You have Stamkos and Colton and Corey Perry as a third line, quote unquote, which is like 850 goals and a cup winning.
That's pretty good. Goal. That's a pretty good
middle. You know, cause if you do that, then you have the second line or whatever is Cirelli, Killorn and Joseph, you know, who step into that and they can, you know, Cirelli was a Selke Trophy finalist a candidate a few years back, so they can do it. And so I think this year will be kind of, there'll be some nights where they have two third lines, some nights where they have two fourth lines, some nights where they have kind of mixed it up and around because they're built such a different way. So I think the only line that's really going to be stable this year is the point Palat and Kucherov line. The rest will be kind of working their way in. So so it's hard to tell who will be the guaranteed, you know, replacement for that Gord line. I think it'll be a different way that they'll have to kind of construct it. But I think what I saw in the preseason is, you know, see guys like Corey Perry and Stamkos together. It's been pretty fun.
I think it's cool to get, it's interesting to get Cirelli away from Stamkos because their numbers together last year were like not great, right? So, I mean, they normalized in the playoffs and whatever, but it's fair to wonder whether that was going to work. Now you pair Stamkos with Colton, who's, you know, a little bit more of an offensively dynamic player and all that. That makes a ton of sense to me. And something I'm just going to be watching throughout the year is even more so than the past is Stamkos because he was good in the playoffs, you know, not to take anything away from him, but there were times where it looked like he was coming up to the hill. I'm fascinated in that, like the aging curve with him and also kind of paired with Colton on a more offensively minded line than say with Cirelli.
Well, I think too, he's relatively healthy now. I mean, he had a arthroscopic knee surgery in like April of last year before the playoffs. He had something to get done there. And then I don't think he was completely himself. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll ever be completely 100% anymore with all the surgeries, but you know, now you have him healthy. You have him, a guy who wants to make the Canadian Olympic team. That's a kind of big carrot out there. He knows he has to get off to a strong start to have it be in consideration for that loaded roster. And, you know, maybe if you have him in a different line or working with Corey, they have some chemistry and, you know, he may not have to be in a kind of quote unquote shutdown defensive role, you know, he'll still have the power play. So, you know, from what we've seen in preseason, at least he's looked good to me. And I think, you know, he may not be like the 50 goal scorer, but he can definitely, you know, the way he plays and if he's healthy, he can be a dynamic for a lot of different places in the lineup.
Do you think they can handle him just being an okay 5-on-5 player and a power play weapon? Like if that's what he is moving forward, is that going to work for them? Or are they built for him to be where it's necessary for him to be more?
Well, I think ideally, you know, a guy like him, he's not your ninth forward in terms of total ice time, 5-on-5, like he was in the playoffs last year. I mean, ideally, you know, that's not been his role in his career. He's had to kind of adjust and accept that. But yeah, I think you'd like to have him more effective there. But I think the way the team is constructed and the lines that they have, they don't need him to be the, you know, top line center or top line wing producer. They've got guys that can be able to step in and play. And so if you have him on the power play and your power play is 24% for the season, and he's a bigger reason why, like all of a sudden you're going to be winning a lot of, mm-hmm. a lot of hockey games. And in the playoffs, that can be a difference maker. So I don't, by no means am I saying he's done 5-on-5 or he's, right. he's, you know, he's
surprised to hear you say that, Joe. Several Stamkos.
Yeah, yeah. That's a headline right there. Baby. Just,
you know, I mean, for all as good a player as he's been.
Yeah. No. Can we record here? Yeah. So no, he's definitely got a lot of years left here, and I think being healthy is going to be a big deal for him this year going into the fall.
I wonder if this is the year. It seems like the Braden Point appreciation parade always happens in the playoffs, and we just ignore him for a regular season. I wonder if this is the year where like everyone's like, hey, this is, you know, with the Olympics, and he's going to be a big part of that, presumably. If this is the year, like, we do a full-on year-round appreciation of the player he's become. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe we just wait to get into the playoffs.
Just a daily parade for Braden Point.
I think we should have
Point.
Daily Braden Point parade. Yeah. He's
he would not show up for it. He would not. He signed his extension on July 1st, I think, with $9.5 million annual average, right? And I think he's one of the best players in national hockey. Like, told me Craig before the first bubble run that he'd be the best player in the playoffs that year.
Did say that.
He could have won the Conn Smythe, I think, the last couple of years if it weren't for the players, you know, on that team. But he signed his extension, and so, you know, Barkov had his extension the other day. They had this big party or this thing on the rooftop of something by the water, and they couldn't find Braden Point. Like, he was not, you know, they tried to text him, he like kind of like went dark, and like he didn't want the attention. He didn't want to do, like, you know, kind of like a media call after like signing his extension.
Like sorry, buddy, you just signed for $400 million. Like, you have to do a media call.
Then,
So we did talk to him like months later, you know, and he's like, I feel like I have to earn it. Like, I feel like to prove that, you know, reward their faith and prove that I'm that kind of a player, because he's getting, you know, Kucherov and Vasilevsky money. But yeah, I think they're. If there was a parade or an appreciation toward Braden Point, there'd be a lot of Lightning fans on it, because, you know, there's no question he's been instrumental to what they've done the last 3-4 years.
He figures prominently into our player tiers, which drop on the Athletic NHL on Tuesday morning.
Oh, look at you, like a pro.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
And Vasilevsky was number one on the goalie tiers, which, I had a lot of mixed emotions seeing that published without me doing it. I was really brokenhearted to see. I thought that I would retire with my move out of the writing space, but I'm glad to see.
Couldn't carve out a couple days to do that, huh?
That's really hard. The goalie tier, that was the first thing I got rid of. First
48 hours of work. Just deal with it.
Months of work. I was like, here you go, everybody. Enjoy doing goalie tiers. Vasilevsky, of course, he's just become his own tier. It's almost like the same. We run back the same comments every year. But, you know, we can talk all we want or speculate about the third line. As long as they're running out Point, Vasilevsky, and Hedman, and maybe the best coach in the game, and maybe the best GM in the game, you know, I think Tampa's going to be okay.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that's the phrase that everybody used, like, from the start of camp. As long as we have 88 in that, we're in good shape. And I think he's their most important player. And as of all the stars on their team, like, you know, he's their stabilizer. He's the rock. He's the guy that when they're giving up 28 shots on goal, like, or shots attempts in the first period, like on Saturday, he makes all the saves, and all of a sudden it's okay in the second period. Like, I think the goalie tier quote was perfect. Was like in Tampa, the Tom Brady example is kind of fitting. I think if Tom Brady weren't here, if this wasn't such a big deal, like, I think either a guy like him might be, you know, on that kind of, you know, Rushmore status, you know, with the way he, you know, the two cups that he won, played every single minute, every single playoff game the last 2 years. So I think it'll be interesting how they manage his workload this year with Olympics. He'll be playing for Russia, and Russia could be the upset special pick in the Olympics in Beijing. Imagine him against Cooper's Canada team with Braden Point and those guys.
Let's do it. They should actually try to play Vasilevsky at center. They might need him more there. The Russian team.
They can't have 8 wings.
Grim.
All right. Well, last thing. I mean, you mentioned the Barkov signing. I mean, it is. We are in this fun point in, you know, I think back to that the playoffs last year. It's like a legit thing now, Florida and Tampa. We saw some heated preseason stuff. We've got, you know, competing franchise centers signing long-term deals. So it sets up for a long time. The fact that Florida could be legitimately good and Tampa is the one fending them off is one of my favorite like sneaky storylines of this year.
No, I mean, if you watched that series last year, I mean, it was, you know, if Panthers had any semblance of goaltending consistency, that would have been a 7-game series. You know, they used three goalies against Tampa that first round series. Mm-hmm. But you watch them this year, they're even more loaded up front. It's hard to find a weakness on the ice. And, you know, aside from all the fights they had in their preseason game over someone ran into Vasilevsky, I think there's a lot of intensity in there. And people ask me what their biggest obstacle for Lightning repeating is. And I think it's their division, you know, the guys that you have to face every day, you know, the Panthers, you know, the Leafs, if they're going to turn into the Leafs, people think that they can become eventually, they'll be a force. Boston's getting older, but they're obviously a tough out. And so, you know, I think the Panthers are, I think, the real deal. And, you know, they only get there by winning a playoff series, which we'll find out they can do this year. But those matchups with the Lightning are definitely exciting, and they'll definitely be important this year, too.
Well, Joe, thanks for doing this, and enjoy the start of another season. I know you have a practice to run, too, so it's fun time of year. And appreciate you hopping on.
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Craig, you want to bet on the Michigan State game next week? Michigan undefeated, Michigan State undefeated?
Yes, by all means. I'm fully confident in the Spartans if you want to lay down a gauntlet right now. I don't even need a spread. I know how Michigan, you're probably already thinking they're going to be favored, but are they,
Well, it's at Michigan State. It's Lansing, right? So pretty even up. So what do you think?
We can think some things over, Joe.
Lunch in Detroit, dinner in Detroit, or
absolutely.
In the Arbiter there.
Loser has to buy dinner. Absolutely.
Well, sounds good.
Craig's Mel Tucker bobblehead is just out of frame.
I'm a huge Mel Tucker guy.
I miss Bobby Williams. That's for sure. So that's right. You know.
Yes. Different. It's a different feel in East Lansing. No, it's fun up here right now to have these teams undefeated. It's good. Good proper fall right now here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, guys, for having me. And we'll catch up soon. Joe.
Love it.
All right, we go from Joe Smith in the reigning Stanley Cup champs to Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, a proud American who he may or may not even know it's Thanksgiving today, and we've got
not celebrating.
He's not celebrating. I don't know. Maybe he does. I feel like if you're in the hockey space long enough, you just kind of co-opt both countries. Whatever's going.
Disagree
on.
With that.
Whoa, I'm sure that'll be question number one we ask Bill. So we've got Bill Daly coming back. A lot of things to talk around the league. Excited to have Bill on. So we'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are now joined by NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. Bill, we were already debating. Do you celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving? You've been around Canadians long enough. Do you even do a turkey, or do you just wait properly like a good American?
I don't do a turkey on Canadian Thanksgiving, but I am very aware of the holiday. I asked my friends in the Canadian in our Toronto office what the slate of CFL games were for today. Unlike in the United States, they can basically play the whole league schedule on a single day.
It's Rough Riders versus Rough Riders, I believe, today.
Today's game. Oh, man. Rough one for your Dolphins, Bill. I'm sorry. My goodness.
Yeah, that game couldn't end soon enough.
My goodness.
Oh, it's a tough one. You're right.
So really what we're celebrating is that it's NHL season Eve here, and it just came fast, and here we are. And what I wanted to start with, like, here we are on the eve of the season starting, and you've got Seattle playing in Vegas, and it. In, we've all been waiting for this moment, you know, covering Seattle for years and this buildup. But if you take a step back, a couple, and just say, "Here, Seattle's playing in Vegas," like what a crazy thing. Like, now that it's actually happening and you've kind of seen this through, what's going through your mind to see these two teams playing an actual, real NHL regular season game?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I've ever stepped back from it far enough to really look at it that way. And certainly, we were thrilled with and still are thrilled with the success that Vegas had upon entering the league, because I think there was a lot of skepticism and cynicism around that franchise and around
not from us, by the way. We always said it was going to work no matter what. 100%.
I believe it. If you say it, I believe it. But you know, that obviously was a new market for professional sports generally. It certainly was a new market for hockey. And, you know, the results have been unbelievably good. And just, you know, the excitement and enthusiasm around hockey and the sport of hockey and what the Vegas Golden Knights have done to generate that has been truly special. And, you know, I think there was less cynicism around the Seattle market being a market that would work for hockey. But I will tell you that the early returns are, it's going to be beyond our wildest expectations. Mm-hmm. The demand for hockey and the response of the fan base there, certainly the franchise has done all the right things to kind of generate that excitement. But, you know, the excitement is palpable. We were out there, obviously, over the summer for the expansion draft. And people can't wait for puck drop. And, you know, they've opened their practice facility. Their game facility is going to be one of the best, if not the best, in the league, and is ready to open in a couple of weeks. So it's an exciting time for the National Hockey League, for sure.
Like another big source of excitement, honestly, it's been wild to see is the level of excitement people have for the new TV deals, yeah, whether it's yeah. ESPN or TNT or whatever. It's something that people are talking about even more than I anticipated. One of the threads there that's been really interesting to me, and like John Buchagrass has said it and Steve Levy said it, is the idea of competition between ESPN and TNT, that these are two networks that are both, you know, kind of gearing to be the best in the game, and maybe they're going to push each other to a next level. And I was wondering if that's something you guys have talked about at a league level, and how excited you might be to kind of see those two play off each other.
Well, I certainly do think that when you have competition in the market, you push each other to be better. And I certainly think ESPN and Turner for a long period of time now kind of push each other kind of in the professional sports broadcasting space. They've gotten along remarkably well. They cross promote remarkably well. They both have kind of different approaches to covering the game, which I think is exciting as well. I think Turner is going to be far more kind of entertainment based and ESPN more kind of traditional sports based, with innovative, features. So I do think there's positive there of one wanting to outdo the other. You could see it, you could see their competitiveness just in assembling their talent over the last 4 or 5 months in terms of how they approached that process. And they both did a remarkable job. They both have great hockey voices. Really excited for it to get going.
It's funny, the other thing in the media landscape, that kind of created a battle for talent or whatever. The other thing that you're seeing is now a lot of these gambling sites are trying to get in the media game or you know, there's this impact there. And so that creates a whole new level of coverage, right? What's been, I know the league's been looking at gambling and it's very involved in all of that and in the impacts, but has there been any like surprise developments of now that this is, you know, from your perspective, or impacts in the league, this is all made?
I don't think there's anything that's really caught us by surprise.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the things that we anticipated would be the logical effect of the introduction and normalization of sports gambling are in fact happening. I do think they've given us an increased number of engagement platforms, to your point. You know, the shows talking about hockey and talking about our games. There are some people who watch that only for betting purposes, but there are other people who watch it just to be educated on our game. So it's, I think that's a positive. Certainly there's been a financial benefit to the league and to the clubs. It's probably not as much as most people speculate it is at this point. But I do believe that that market will continue to grow. And it'll continue to be beneficial for us, both from a financial standpoint, but also a fan engagement standpoint.
We talked about some of these financial impacts on the positive level. And I think there was a bit of a hole, obviously, because of the pandemic. When do you think that this will impact the cap in terms of all these kind of positive momentum the league has right now in terms of an upward climb?
Well, I mean, I think they all impact the cap on some basis to some extent. The more we can drive revenues, the quicker the players can essentially pay us back.
Right.
And once, you know, that balance is paid off, the cap, you know, is free to grow again on a more material basis than $1 million a year. So, you know, I think it'd be good for both parties, both us and the players, for that to happen sooner rather than later. And the more revenue we can generate, the quicker that will happen.
What's that balance at, Bill? You were saying the
it continues to be a significant balance. But you know what? We are anticipating and projecting, knock on wood, if we don't have cancellations or postponements, and people can attend our games, as we expect is going to be the case from the start of the season. You know, we expect to certainly do better than we did in the last full season, which was 18-19, and probably outpace what we would have done in 19-20 when the pandemic hit. So, our credit to our business group, both at the league, but also the club staffs who continued to work during the pandemic and continued to generate business, a lot of business and a lot of new business. And as you know, given the exigencies of the circumstances, we became more creative in loosening up and creating new value for the clubs in areas that we had not ventured in before. And, you know, we're anticipating launching, you know, jersey advertising for the 22-23 season. You know, we've come a long way, and I think, you know, we'll continue to be able to generate revenue growth. Obviously, two new US TV deals help in that regard, and the engagement they'll create will also help us grow revenue. So it's all good right now.
So here we sit on Monday. Rosters have to be turned in. There's a couple topics we got to run through with you. Evander Kane, as I sit here, we don't know what that status is going to be. Is there any update on the investigations with him that you can provide?
I mean, nothing I can share today. I do expect, obviously, there'll be news vis-a-vis Evander Kane relatively soon. I don't know whether that's today or whether that's later this week, but there should be news in the near future for sure.
Okay, and it's been a newsy stretch, you know, beyond just training camp and camp battles. Robin Leonard comes to the forefront with Twitter account, and we applauded it. I think everybody wants people like Robin Leonard to speak freely, talk about important topics, and I we're fans of Robin, and I'm sure the league, you know, it's good. And to some extent, but I know there was conversations with him after between the league and Robin Leonard. What are those like when you're shaping how he approaches his public persona? What are those conversations like?
That's a fair question. I mean, what I will tell you is I did have the opportunity to talk personally to Robin after the tweets, and I can tell you he feels extremely passionate about mental health issues and mental health issues as they may affect players in our game. And I totally 100% respect that. Most of our conversation really went toward us being aligned, the league and he and the Players Association, quite frankly, in dealing with and providing resources for mental health challenges throughout the league on a basis different than and better than we've done in the past. Or historically, I think all sports leagues are taking a look, taking stock at that issue, and trying to address it in a positive way. And I put us in that category. I think he was reassured that we are aligned with that objective. I think he feels we were being genuine and not just paying it lip service. And he wants to be helpful. He wants to be helpful to us and to the Players Association in figuring out how best to tackle those challenges. So all of that is positive. Do I necessarily agree with the manner in which he chose to initiate that conversation with us? I probably would have been more comfortable with other approaches he could have made. And chose not to. Again, I think it's a testament to how strongly he feels about the subject matter.
Yeah.
So as of 11:11 a.m., Jack Eichel is still on the Buffalo Sabres. He has not had surgery on his neck. And that's a contentious debate between a team and a very high profile player. And I wanted to know if you, as in the league, had any sort of appetite to intervene and play mediator and deal with that in one way or another, because this is a situation that's at loggerheads and has been for 6 months. And we're moving toward a resolution now, but I mean, it's been quite a long time.
Well, it's a fair question. I think we've made ourselves available to both parties in the dispute, to be of assistance to the extent we can be. That continues to this day, that, you know, that communication, those lines of communication are open, and we're here as a resource to provide assistance to the extent we can. Having said that, they each have their own vested interests in what's going on here, and it's not our place to interfere with those vested interests or to rule one way or the other, as some would have us do. They each have their arguments. They each have valid arguments. They each have contractually based arguments. if it was a matter of that was open to interpretation, where we could throw a lightning bolt fairly, we would. But that's not what this situation is, unfortunately. So it's really, at the end of the day, it's going to be resolved by the parties themselves. I think, since Pat Brisson has been brought on by Jack to counsel the situation for Jack, I think certainly the lines of communication between the Eichel camp and the Sabres are far more open than they were before. They each understand each other's points and arguments, and they're trying to find something that'll work for both parties. So let's hope they can do that.
So it feels like they better understand each other versus, say, a month ago or 2 months ago. Like, are we turning in the right direction there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the Pat came in and tried to learn as much as he could about the different issues in a short time period. But I think he also both, one, had an established relationship with the organization, but also worked hard to build a better relationship, a more open and transparent relationship with both the ownership in Buffalo, but also the management team in Buffalo. So they're pulling in the same direction to try to get a resolution, but they're doing it obviously from different sides of the river.
Yeah. So, Bill, I know you got to run. So just last question here. The Blackhawks are holding their internal investigation into the allegations against Brett Aldrich. I am sure you're waiting to see, like we all, I think it's going to be public. What would be the next steps for the league? Is there a possibility that you would kind of take the baton on investigations, or what will the league's approach be once that's finalized?
It really will depend on what that report says.
Yeah.
What its findings are, we'll wait to be able to review that report. And if there are follow-up issues that are league, you know, implicated issues, obviously we'll follow up as we deem appropriate. But it's really premature for me to even comment because I don't know what that report's going to say.
Right, sure. Well, Bill, thanks for doing this. And it's a fun time of year, a lot happening. We're excited here in the States, especially ESPN and Turner and all the, you know, Seattle, big moment. So hope you're able to enjoy. I know you got a lot on your plate. Hope you're able to enjoy what's coming.
Well, thanks, guys. Enjoy the season. I'm looking forward to it as well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thanks again to Bill Daly for joining. Exciting time. Always, like, he's got one of those jobs. It's like you can enjoy it for a second, but then also you have like 10 fires to put out. I'm glad he was able to come on and talk, and we appreciate Bill for doing that and producer Jeff for setting that up. And let's take a quick break, and we get to finally, Sean, pick our fantasy pool. I've been prepping like nonstop since we talked about this a week ago.
You won't leave me alone about it, dude.
This is gonna be so good.
Calling me in the middle of the night saying, who are we gonna pick from Salvian's fire?
We'll be right back.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. Whether you're sending emails or writing a Slack message, the last thing you want is a grammatical error. It just looks unprofessional. Just a little bit of help from Grammarly can make a big impact on your work day to day. 96% of Grammarly users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. It works across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, tone suggestions help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. Save time with one click and go from editing drafts in hours to seconds. 93% of professionals using Grammarly Premium report that it helps them get more work done. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
We're back, and it's time. It's time for what we've been waiting for weeks. It's time for what Craig has been bothering me at all hours of the night through various means of communication. Oh, man. It's time to select our officepools.com team. Again, this is officepools.com. You can search the Athletic Hockey Pool. You can play against all of us. You pick one player from 24, if I can count correctly, 24 preset categories. You can go against me and Craig and Haley and Ian and Mac and Dew and Ian, I guess.
Also Ian
and then Ian.
Oh, are we picking from all 24 of these boxes? We got to fly through this then, Sean.
Wait, do you know who my favorite is in this pool? It's Ian.
Is it? Yeah. Well, because he's gonna have 20 entries.
Yeah, exactly. My money's on Ian. All right. So let's do this. We're gonna fly through this. This is actually probably the way we should pick stuff in general. Like when you and I ran a fantasy team together, we would spend a lot of time on it and spend hours on an auction draft and always end up as, you know, the most mediocre team possible. So maybe just like first answer, best answer is the way this is gonna go. This will work.
Here's how I think we should do this. Our rules should be, we alternate final say or who gets to pick in each box, you and I. And if tie goes to the American, we should lean American if at all possible.
I agree with you.
All right.
I agree with you.
I'm going to start. Oh, no. You start it because I want this.
Come on.
We're going to go to the Craig Custin Center. I should be able to pick my own box. That's, so you start.
Yeah, we should both be able to pick our own guys. All right. Mac and Dew's meal is the category. It's McDavid and McKinnon by themselves. That is obviously a no-brainer, I think. God bless Nathan McKinnon, but it's fantasy hockey. You'd be out of your mind if you didn't pick Connor McDavid. So that's the
most. Can I just throw, and I'm already slowing this down. We're going to fly through this.
This is like the biggest
no-brainer. The only thing, it's like picking a NCAA tournament bracket. Sometimes you're better off taking the one that no one else is taking in case McDavid gets hurt or something goes sideways there. And then you have McKinnon.
I agree with that, but this is not the place. Okay. This is not the place for that.
We'll go McDavid. The Craig Custin Center. Who are we? Here's what I'm going to do.
Wait, are we going down here?
Interesting. You want me to go left or right?
No, that's fine.
I'm kind of doing this very weirdly. We're going in column form. I just wanted to get to my pick. The Craig Custin Center. This is a good box of two-way centermen for the most part. Really responsible players, much like myself. Very responsible fella.
That's true.
I'm going to go in this box. We're taking Braden Point. We like Braden Point. And we just talked to Joe Smith about him. We're going to throw daily parades for Braden Point. So there we go.
Ryan O'Reilly has the best has the best number in that. And he's certainly a regression candidate, as we've talked about in a lot of different spaces. So yeah. USA. Right. Here we go. Ooh. This is the USA specific one. Our pick in that space. Oh boy. That's really tough. Also, David Perron's on.
Why is David Perron in the USA box?
He's not American, so we're not going to pick him. Besser, Couturier, Robertson, Rust, and Wheeler. I'm going Couturier.
Yeah.
Couturier is not American either. He was born in Phoenix.
You can't go Couturier.
Brock Besser.
All right, good. Brock Besser, good. Pool winners.
Let's go Besser.
Here we go. You're picking one from the pool winners. What does that mean? Like, you win your pool with guys like this? Is that this?
That's a good question.
I don't know why it's called this. I'm going to go.
I don't really know.
Carter Verhaeghe.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You're banking on the Barkov effect for a full season.
I think he's going to be really good this
year. I like it. They gave him some money. They're clearly going to give him a chance to keep cooking with Barkov. Yep. Yeah, man.
I'm in on the Panthers. That's fine. I'm rooting for the Panthers.
I'm into it. He plays for an American team, and I don't think anybody is going to pick him from that group other than us. So that's a good differentiation point.
Thank you. That's fine.
this group is called All About the D. Be quiet. It's Makar.
It's Makar. Easy. To the point.
Don't overthink it.
To the point. Braden Point's not in this one. I'm gonna let you pick this one, Sean, because you love to say the word point.
Is that irony? Point.
Yes. Point. So go ahead. You can pick this one. Oh no no no. Oh.
I love it. Wait, hold on a second. Let's see.
Uh-huh. We're taking Zach Werenski. Sorry.
Okay. God damn it. Okay. So
American. Michigan.
Charlie McAvoy is on the first power play. He's running it now. A thought. Is Voracek gonna take away touches for Werenski on the power play? They're gonna run it through him.
Maybe.
This is your pick. I know.
With my heart.
You're gonna pick.
He's one of my children, Zach Werenski.
Your son, Zach Werenski.
Taking my oldest child, Zach Werenski, there.
It's Chak Werenski. It starts with a C.
He's a bit in our family, Chak. All right.
My son, Chak Werenski. Okay, the Monsters of Mendez. This is the Ian Mendez Memorial group. Man. Matthews.
Yeah, she's O'Pete's.
Jeez, Alou. I didn't. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I mean, easy. you get the next two picks.
Box of Gentilly. Again, this is the jerks. I got thrown in the PIM specific group. We gotta go Matt Tkachuk.
Gotta go Matt Tkachuk.
Gotta do it. Bounce back.
Yep.
Bounce back here. There's also other guys we can eliminate in there pretty easily. So yeah.
We're going next up, the all name box.
Yeah. Okay, I get it. It's funny.
I'm gonna go with
I know who you're picking here.
You're gonna take Fiala here?
Yeah.
I'm gonna take Fiala. Kevin Fiala.
Love it. West Side Stories. So this is Western Conference players. Boy, this one is a lot of fun. We're not gonna pick Kubalik, but he's a fun guy to have in there because he gets Taves back, right?
Yeah. Do you have to take Clayton Keller just out of America? The Coyote is gonna be terrible, and I don't know how you do anything there. I would say don't pass on the American there.
I love Tomas Hertl. I love him.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. I mean, we know each other too well. This is silly. Like we could. Yeah. I could
these pick, are we're picking the same guys.
We're picking the
guys
same team that we pick every year in fantasy.
Okay.
Defensive dangles. Pick one from this box. This is named after Steve Dangle. It's John Gentile's arch rival.
Stop.
Who Sean makes fun of on a regular basis. As we know, if you listen to the Tuesday edition, really surprising. I would think Steve's done some great things in this space. I'm a fan of Steve's.
Not me.
No, of course. This is a bunch of defensemen. I want to take. So yeah. I'm going to rule out Chychrun because he falls into my category of the kind of player I would like, but since he chose Canada over the U.S., he can't be in our group. I'm going to go Dougie. They're going to give Dougie every opportunity to play every second of everything in New Jersey.
Yep.
And they got to make that number work. And Dougie, I like Dougie there. Dougie Hamilton.
Totally. Totally agree. He could get some of the runoff from the pending Jack Hughes breakout too.
Oh yeah.
We're in the goalies area now where you take. Actually, let's go through and do all the goalies at once. Okay. So we can just knock them out of the way. There's three different goalie categories. Top tier team. This is the best of the best. I guess sort of we're taking Tampa Bay. That's a no-brainer. Yep.
So yeah, so you get the goalies. You get both goalies there. That's how this works.
We get Vassie and whoever's behind him.
Okay, the Teamsters Union. Pick one out of this group. I'm a good, I grew up in Michigan, Detroit, big Union guy. You're in Pittsburgh. We are
Teamster family. By the way,
Teamster family.
My uncle's my grandpa. Yeah, they drove trucks.
The Teachers Union in Michigan is where my parents. I mean, that put us through college, so we're indebted. Big fans. So I'm going to go out of this one. I'm going to go Islanders. We're betting on the system and the goalies and we're also clearly on Team Islanders in this podcast. We love the Islanders.
Yep.
That seems like an easy one for me.
Winnipeg.
Guardians of the Crease. Yeah. Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah. That's a no brainer.
All right. Next category, the Salvian Fire.
We're going all over the place here now, by the way. You skip.
Oh, what did I skip?
Okay, fine.
Oh, LeBrun's Beauties. You're right. LeBrun's Beauties. This is a bunch of players that what would put these guys together that maybe Pierre would like. We should take Gensel as a good American, but I'm not going to here. Oh, man, this is tough. I'm either going Barkov or Marner. I'm going to go Barkov. I mean, he's so good.
And Mitch Marner is so good in the regular season.
Well, this is a regular season.
I know. We're like executives where we, disproportionately weigh the postseason into every single evaluation we make of a player.
We really have.
Left out. I don't really know what this is. What the theme here is.
Well, left wing.
Pacioretty. It's either Pacioretty or Kaprizov. Kaprizov.
Well, Kaprizov would be fun to root for. I think. And Johnny Gaudreau. There's some good options here. We could use a good veteran like Max Pacioretty on our team. We're pretty upsidey like we always are.
He works on the stone line. I'm fine with that.
I like that. Dark horses. This is Verana is a no. So these are guys that we would like to normally take a flyer on. This is right up our alley, this whole category. So I think Tyler Seguin's going to have a bounce back year. You don't? I'm going to allow input here in this category.
So we can eliminate Verana because he's hurt.
Reinhardt would be a good one.
Don't know that Suzuki has. He's great, but the production isn't quite there yet. The process is there. The production isn't there. I love Sam Reinhardt.
Okay,
and I love him on that team.
Aren't we like all in on the Panthers?
It's a strategy,
and they're gonna go. Yeah, let's go Reinhardt.
It's a strategy because nobody else is going to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers. Mm-hmm. That's a differentiation
point. All right. I like that.
I know what's going to happen is like Hintz is going to come out and have like, an 86 point season or something. We're going to look like idiots, but whatever. The young and the restless. These are the young folks. We love all these guys.
Oh, of course, we would take every one of these in our normal.
We can. This would just be.
This would be our
all
team.
Six of these guys would be on our roster. Okay, Marco Rossi or Cole Caulfield.
I'm Lafreniere.
Really? Let's do it.
Second year breakout
Fine.
Guy.
Let's roll.
Classic second year breakout guy.
No. It's not like he submarined us in real life last year or anything. Okay.
You're holding that against him unfairly. If you're listening to this, I hope you got the thing out and you're doing your own. It'll be fun. Like, hopefully you're playing along and you're checking the boxes so you can submit.
Yeah, this is great. This is great.
Walking the blue line.
Walking the blue line. Tony D'Angelo is in this group because walking the blue line matters. All right.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go... Oh, I like some of these options.
Petrie.
Gerard, I guess Petrie. Good American. All right, I'll go Petrie. We said tie goes to the American. As much as I like Haskinen.
Who else would you go?
Gerard, I was looking at.
Haskinen is great. Haskinen is a great hockey player. He's just not... The points aren't going to be there. Okay, so here is Salvian Fire.
All right.
Really interested on how this category got its name. I don't see any shared DNA here.
With any of the players?
I don't really get it.
I want to do a behind the music and the process of putting this sheet together.
I'm into it. Do we want to load up on Vegas?
I can't believe you're not pushing for your favorite player in the league, Svechnikov, Andrei Svechnikov.
He's not my favorite player in the league.
Or Mikko Rantanen. No, let's go Mark Stone. But then we got that whole line. I feel like we're really betting on...
Who cares? This isn't real. Oh, yeah. If it pays off, we look like geniuses. If not, like, who cares?
Okay, Mark Stone. He's a great player. Like, he's a great player. He's a superstar. Swedish Touch. This is... Swedes?
Backstrom, Hurt, Lindholm, whatever. Do we like a full season out of Mika? He doesn't have COVID anymore, I don't think.
What about Pettersson? Those are my two.
Let's go with Pettersson's. We know what Mika is completely. Pettersson is like...
We're going for the moon.
One of these years,
it
might be this year, it might be next year. It might be the year after. It's going to be before his deal runs out because he's going to make $15 million on his next one. It's going to happen.
Right.
We need to be there for it. This is the exact thought process that we have when we're doing actual
fantasy. You guys are getting a glimpse into how to finish 6th out of 12th in a fantasy hockey league. Follow this strategy. Always.
You can plug and play. Like, you could literally just... sub out names in GChat for the last 10 years and it'll be the exact same thing. Brought to you by the letter T. Okay, this one makes sense. Names I'll start with T.
I'm going to run like the listener. Tarasenko, Tatar, Teravainen, Taves, Toffoli, and Trocheck are the options here. Some really interesting players.
Oh God. Do we want to just go on? I don't know what Tarasenko has left.
Nope.
Tatar is a great regular season player. Teravainen had a weird one. Taves is a no go. Toffoli, I just can't quite. Do we want to go with Vince? Upper St. Clair, suburban Pittsburgh native, Vince Trocheck?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Okay. The leftovers, first of all, I would like to file a formal complaint against the makers of this that we're calling Jack Hughes, this burgeoning star. Jack Hughes gets put in the leftovers box?
I'll tell you what, you look at all these other guys in this box, they're the losers, not Jack Hughes.
Yes, this is...
You hear that? You hear that, Martin HS? Let's go.
You hear that, Braden Shen? We're going Jack Hughes all day long here. The next box, it's a delightful pick. Because they're defensemen?
Yeah, I guess so. Boy. Do we want to bank on a bounce back season from Pionk? I don't know. Or not a bounce back. Follow-up is what I meant. I don't know about that. Riley. Seth Jones, no. Tori Krug.
You know me. This is right out of my... Again, Michigan State guy.
You get a year's worth of adjustment.
Yeah, Tori Krug. I like Tori Krug
always,
for the solid
bet. Always going to get power play time.
That was the last one,
that
I think.
Is it. Yep, that is it.
Whew, all right, that's a great team. I want everyone listening to this to enter your own team. You can win prizes. Mostly, you're probably going to beat Sean and I, but I don't know. Maybe this is the year we put it all together.
That's what we've been saying since 2010 or whatever, 2011.
2006.
Is that true?
Probably.
God. 2006, I was in college, dude.
We don't know that. All right.
I believe. I think I was.
We're already going long in this last segment, but I do want to encourage you, subscribe to The Athletic, get the app, listen on that, and then go into the comments section for our episode, because we do like to interact with our listeners there.
Man, we had some big ones in the last one, too. Yeah. Lots of comments.
So, yes. So, some really good points here. I'm just reading these. All right. So, I'm going to answer some of the questions. I'm going to read them. And I'm going in cold. I haven't even looked. Have you looked at some of these?
I looked at them a few days ago, yeah.
From Andrew W., the correct answer, the Memorial Cup winner was the Flint Firebirds, the only relevant team eligible in the CFL.
The only, okay, yeah, the only, yeah, the only relevant football team, which is the sport that the Memorial Cup decides. So congratulations to them.
Alex R. points out, it seems a little Americaphobic to not have either of your names on the logo for the podcast. Is that true, that we're not on the logo?
I've put in a series of complaints about that. I expect a resolution by the time the season begins. Yes.
Also, as Max Baltman pointed out, I think our names were in smaller font size on the ad.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, the Canadians with their passive aggressive logo design, we see you. We see you, logo designers.
Mendez and Salvian are behind that. If I could bet on it, I would.
Michael S. says, what is Pierre LeBrun's cabin like? If you haven't been, how would you imagine it to be? Those are two very different questions. I do know. Well, actually, it's 15 seconds or less, Sean. What would you imagine Pierre's cabin like? And I can actually tell what it's like.
A really great jukebox setup that he can just dominate himself and play whatever bullshit he wants instead of putting $100 in at a time and playing 50 Tragically Hip songs consecutively. He can just do it for free on his own time.
That's a good guess, but you're wrong. His cabin is like, first of all, it's beautiful. It's in Muskoka, which that's north of Toronto for our American listeners.
Yeah, Buna dropped the address too.
If you can find it based on what I'm saying, you get to go.
we're gonna triangulate Pierre's location based on clues.
He has, and it's just beautiful. He's got this big old deck on the back that they bought this place because of the sunsets over whatever lake that is in Canada. And it's just
Lake whatever
in northern whatever. And it's stunning. And I will say the most Canadian thing I'll do is when we go there at 4 o'clock or three or whatever, he makes these Caesars. I don't even call them bloody Caesars. I call them Caesars like a Canadian. And they're so good. And you sit on that deck.
It's a Bloody Mary with clam juice.
Clamato.
Bloody Mary with Clamato.
Yeah, I'm actually a convert. So this is the most Canadian portion of the podcast you'll hear. It's a glorious cottage. The best part is the giant shuffleboard table in the basement. So, Sean, you had it half. Bar games is very much
shuffleboard.
Part of it.
No, that's perfect. That was gonna be my next guest. That's his other big pastime when we're
fridge full of beer and a shuffleboard and sunsets.
Beautiful.
It's great. We'll see. I should probably read these before I read them out loud. So if like they're mean or something, but love the show. You guys have become my favorite. Oh, great. Of the Athletic Hockey Show rotation. I'm still just waiting for Phil Kessel to make an appearance and your exciting investigation into this shady Corey Pronman character. Two very good call-outs by Will. Phil Kessel, we've put in the request for Phil. How's that going?
No, and I have eyes on the very, very mysterious Corey Pronman.
Did you ask him if he's Canadian or American?
Corey, where do you live?
Nobody knows. Lucas C., you guys are hilarious. This is great. This is great. Appreciate the humor. Yeah. Oh, with the U. All right. This is just a setup by Lucas. Coincidentally, Scott Wheeler put out a great CHL preview yesterday. Lots of great dialogue spelled incorrectly. Lucas, you got to get a spell check, bud. We appreciate the comments, but these are just littered with spelling errors and way too many U's in that one. Brian P. Oh, again, my favorite. How many are any Americans listening to this? My favorite with the U part of the show was when Ball came on and Craig went, Peter, what's happening? Intentional reference or not, Office Space is my favorite movie. And I also greet all Peters this way. Of course
it was unintentional by you. No, it wasn't. Oh.
I'm a huge Office Space fan. I am.
So am I. But that is how you greet people a lot of the time, regardless of what.
Yeah, I say what's happening.
Yeah.
Also,
what's happening? That could be like you might just say that because of Office Space. To be fair,
yeah, maybe that's where it started. I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't.
Yeah.
It was not intentional. But Brian, I appreciate you noticing, and I would like to take credit for it. And Brian, what's happening to you, my friend? Bruno L. Regarding what Leonard has brought forward, oh, do we got to run through this suit legal before I read it? I don't think that management is the only party to blame here. It's part of the culture, especially if you look at the playoffs and players who play while being injured. When you learn after the playoffs that X guy played with a broken hand, for example, one can understand that players are willing to take any available medication in order to be able to continue. And he continues, like, that's a, like, we turned serious there without me realizing it, but he's right. Yeah. Like, the culture.
We have another serious one coming up.
Do we? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Should I read it?
Let's tackle this first, actually.
Go okay. I think that's the culture is you play through everything and you do whatever it takes, to play through anything. And so that leads to taking whatever is available to you as a player. And I think that's about, like, I think what Bruno says there is valid. Like, and should we not celebrate? Like, I don't know. Maybe we should say, hey, there's, you know, maybe playing through anything to win a cup isn't the best route. Like, I think it's a valid question.
Yeah, you're balancing individual choice and then pressure from an organization and then pressure from cultural factors and whatever else. That's not something we can solve today, but it is. It's something I think about all the time, and it should be a bigger issue than it is. That's where, you know, that's why it's important that guys like Robin keep talking about it.
This next one comes from Oife B, who's didn't like, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, that we asked Mark Lazarus about the investigation kind of as an afterthought into the Blackhawks, and would have preferred that we started with that keeping.
I know what our thought process was on that. I think. I mean, we I read Oife's comment last week and figured we would talk about it here. Just touch on it. Like, we see it, and we're not trying to dodge it or anything.
Nope.
But I think our approach there was that we wanted to mention it straight away, and have that be, you know, mentioned initially, so you guys as listeners would know that we're gonna get to it when we got to it. You know, maybe it should have been the initial question. Maybe we should have had that conversation first. But the way I thought about it was, it's the most important thing facing that team, and we wanted to have that be the last question that we talked to Laz about. I like the order for that reason alone, because like that was the take home thing. Like, we didn't want to end on, you know, talking about Seth Jones or Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, we got to the way I looked at it is we got that stuff out of the way so we could talk about the investigation and the sexual assault allegations and all that stuff. I think that was why we ordered stuff the way that we did.
I appreciate the dialogue, and I agree with this conclusion, this from this comment that says keeping these issues to the forefront are how we help change sports for the better. And I think I agree 100% with that. And I think I like that. Hold us accountable. Like, that's
totally.
We have to ask the questions. We have to talk about it, or else, you know.
Absolutely.
So I have zero issues with that, and I appreciate the comment.
I do feel like we did the right thing, but that being said, I hope you understand where we're coming from on that. But we're always going to try to, you know, be better and approach that as well as we can.
I agree. This one comes
in between our jokes about, you know. Canadian Thanksgiving and the CHL not being real and whatever else.
That's right. This comes from Justin D. It's plenty good for an American-centric show, but not quite Scandinavian enough. We need a day of the week for the Athletic Hockey Show to devote to the Norwegians, Swedes, and Finns on NHL rosters.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to need you to come in on Sunday.
Nordapalooza.
I would listen. I don't think I'm the person.
Totally.
I would do that if I had nothing but time. I'm a fan. Justin, good idea. And to wrap it up, I think this is dripping in sarcasm. Jonathan C. says, love the show, guys. As a Canadian, it's so nice to finally be able to get some mediocre American content. Oh, thanks. on your next show, could you guys see how many Canadian Olympic teams you could put together before you build one that would lose to Team USA? Keep up the awesome work.
Is that going to be my new Twitter bio?
What?
Mediocre American content?
Mediocre American content. I mean, it's, I can't argue. How many Canadian rosters would you have to put together before you would say the Americans would go in as the favorite?
Do you want the actual answer here?
Three?
Three.
I mean, we're realists here.
Three.
It's three.
Yeah, we are not, but it's three. we did the B team.
All right.
The B teams last year. It's no. Canadian B team is a juggernaut. But yeah, I think once you get down into team three, that's where you can. Here's what I'll say. B team would be competitive. Mm-hmm. C team, you could write an American win in pen. I'll say that much.
Sad. I thought we'd come farther than that. All right. Well, Sean, thanks again. Great episode this week.
This was a long one, buddy.
I know, we went long. We wanted to do the office pool properly. Again, go log on, do that, join us in the fun. And
you know what the problem was, honestly? The problem was that Bill Daly just wouldn't leave us alone.
I know. Thank you again to Bill Daly and to Joe Smith for joining the podcast, for producer Jeff working on a holiday, and especially as we sit here and drag this out into its third hour.
God.
Mostly so he can't eat Thanksgiving turkey. I think was that our plan?
All right. He already did. He's got a goofy little, we talked about it. He's got a goofy little frozen turkey that he's doing today too. The big feast happened already in the Domet house.
Sean, great job. Thanks. Craigie. Thanks for listening, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Kind of.